Mitchell and Langer on the line of scrimmage coming from either side to try to block the kick. Auburn trying to go after it. Here's the snap. They got it. Block kick. Balls back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line. And in for a touchdown is David Langer. Mitchell on the left, and Auburn is again going after the kick, as you might imagine. Greg Gant standing on his own 30. Auburn will try to block it. Auburn going after it. Here's a good snap. It is blocked. It is blocked.
Things first. Fourth and goal at a half a yard. Jackson! Touchdown!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25. Cuts it inside. 30. 35. 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50. To the 40. To the 30. To the 20. To the 15. 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Welcome to Tiger Talk Overtime. Your chance to talk anything and everything Auburn. Join the conversation at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome into Tiger Talk Overtime. I'm Doug Holton, and it's time to continue the conversation as the Tigers get ready for an early homecoming on the Plains this weekend as they take on the Golden Flashes from Kent State. It should be, quite an affair this weekend as ESPN2 will telecast the game at 6 o'clock in Jordan-Hare Stadium. A little bit later on the show tonight, we'll be talking with former head coach of the Tigers, Tommy Tuberville. So if you'd like to get in an early question or text for the coach, call us at 343-0106. Text us with the area code 251-343-0106. Also later in the show, we'll be talking with a former center for the Tigers from Spanish Fort, Reese Dismukes, the Remington winner. And we'll talk about that offensive line and some of the struggles that they've had so far this year. Speaking of the offense, they have sputtered quite a bit in the first couple of games in the first half of play. The running game and the young quarterback, the receivers, what have you, it has been a struggle for the Tigers to get points on the board in half number one. Earlier in the week, Tuesday, at his weekly press conference, Coach Gus Malzahn addressed that and talked about some of the issues facing this Auburn Tigers offense.
There's a little bit of with a young quarterback, new quarterback, and a couple new things, and there's a little bit of learning your offense and learning your personnel and everything that goes with it. You find that out in games. I mean, scrimmages and all that you can find, but there's nothing like games. So, you know, it's good for me right now, and we're after this game, I mean, we'll have a really good idea of where we're at and what we need to do, and you know, as far as getting into conference play and all that. And that was kind of really our goal all along. So, but we're capable of being a good offense. There's no doubt in my mind. It just takes little things to start clicking. And my experience is when those things, little things start clicking, that's when you got a chance to be pretty good.
So the thoughts of Coach Gus Malzahn, and however tough it's been for the Tigers so far in the first couple of games, it'll get a little bit tougher this week against Kent State because Seth Williams, their most explosive wide receiver, is going to be out Saturday night at least one game. Hopefully he'll be back for Texas A&M the following week, but he will be out Saturday night, and Anthony Swartz still questionable as to how much he will play. Hopefully he'll get more time, but it's a good chance for some of the young guys, such as Matthew Hill, to maybe step up and make some plays Saturday for the Tigers. Coach Malzahn also addressed the issue of fumbles and ball security at his press conference on Tuesday. Of course, Booby Whitlow with three fumbles in the Tulane game last week, four or five turnovers for the Tigers in that one, and Coach Malzahn not happy at all. So he talked about DJ Williams, the young freshman running back, and perhaps even Harold Joyner, the 6'4", 215-pound redshirt freshman, getting some playing time at running back this week against Kent State. We'll see what happens at the ball game Saturday. Defensively, the Tigers have looked pretty good in the first couple of ball games. Last week against Tulane, a great outing for the defense. The secondary looked good. The young linebackers coming along, and especially the defensive front, I thought showed some improvement. Marlon Davidson, one of the big guys up front, named the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He recorded 6 tackles, 2 for losses, and 3 quarterback hurries against Tulane. With now 41 consecutive starts, Davidson ranks 2nd nationally among FBS players in consecutive starts behind Louisiana Tech's Ethan Reed, who has 1 more. Anyway, Davidson, one of the more versatile players for the Auburn Tigers. He can play inside, he can play outside, and we talked to him Tuesday about the differences between the two and perhaps which he likes better.
I mean, outside, you know, you'd be a lot more freer. You don't have to take on 2 people every time. And when you're playing the inside, you have to take on 2 big guys and, like, you got to hold your own. And so it's just a different mentality, a different physical standpoint comes along with it, too. You know, you have to be way more physical to play inside than outside. I get reps at both at practice, and I just try to tell myself, like, you never know where you're going to be at in the game. Just treat every play like it's your last. Just work hard at doing something different. You know, I work hard at just shooting my hands in the right spot or taking the correct steps and just stuff like that, you know, just trying to be the best at everything.
All right, so the stage is set for Saturday as the Tigers take on Kent State at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Again, you can join us here on the show tonight. 343-0106 is the number if you want to call in, or text us 251-343-0106. We're going to start the show off with a caller. We've got Tommy Tuberville coming up in just a few minutes that'll join us. But right now, Tim is on the line. Tim, good evening. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, Mobile. Always enjoy the show, and I was monitoring the Democrats, so that's how bored I was at any rate.
Man.
Yeah, that's how my night's been. listened to the show before this, and I wanted to, you know, get your guys' opinion. Coach Steele is on the field. I thought he usually stayed in the booth, and I'm hoping that we didn't call him down there to keep time, because I know I know that's not his job. But I tell you, I wish the time clock, quick recovery, as well as Hastings. I think they're both okay now.
Yeah, that was a mess last week with the clock not working, and the first quarter was not all that exciting either.
You know, I kind of stole my thunder with the intro, but Booby, I was really disappointed in the fumbles. I'm glad to see that, you know, it looked like he improved, but ball handling is going to be a problem if we don't get, you know, Booby some glue on those hands, and I don't think that, you know, A&M's of the world are going to tolerate that type of thing.
No question about it.
The LSU's are going to really have a heyday with something like that. So hopefully we'll get a chance to improve this week. Also noticed that, and I don't know, it's just my opinion, you guys can comment, but defense kind of sputtered a little bit. I was really ambitious to see them, you know, if Booby had some problems, for instance, for them to come on and get us out of a jam, but kind of looked like they were running on some fumes there for a little bit, but cranked it back up and got with it.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Listen, we'll talk about that tonight. You're right. The defense can make some improvements, definitely. I think they've looked pretty good the first couple of games, but they need a shutdown effort Saturday night, and the offense needs to roll. They don't need any turnovers. Booby Whitlow, if he's the starter, needs to perform, and the Auburn offense needs to get off to a quick start and put this game away early, because Auburn has, you know, as you mentioned, coming up after this one, Texas A&M, and then back home for Mississippi State, and also on the road at Florida after that one. So a lot of big games coming up for the Tigers down the road. So they need to have a good performance Saturday. Again, Coach Tommy Tuberville is coming up in just a couple of minutes after the break, and we'll be talking with him about his thoughts on the Tigers this year, along with some other topics. I want to take just a minute to mention our sponsors on the show. Azalea City Hand and Rehab, D&K Suit Discounters, T. Batchelor & Son, Edward Jones, Robertsdale Power Equipment, and your CBD store of West Mobile. We want to thank all of those for their support of the show. And if you'd like to sponsor the show, give us a call here at the station, and we'll be glad to talk to you. Again, give us a call here on the Tiger Talk Overtime show. We're talking with Tommy Tuberville after the break and getting his thoughts on the Tigers. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us on FM Talk 106.5.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Doug Holton with you on Tiger Talk Overtime as we continue to talk about the Tigers and the ball game, the homecoming game coming up with Kent State this Saturday night, Jordan-Hare Stadium. Hope many of you are heading up to the ball game Saturday. Coach Tommy Tuberville at a fundraiser tonight, and we're hoping to hook up with him in just a few minutes. But we'd love to have your comments on the Tigers and the ball game Saturday, the big three-game stretch coming up after Kent State this weekend, Texas A&M, and also Mississippi State, and then Florida. That should be quite a three-game stretch for the Tigers. Our number here, 343-0106, if you want to give us a call and get in on the conversation. Want to mention quickly something that I saw this afternoon that's pretty interesting. 80 years after it first served as the field house for the Auburn football team, historic Petrie Hall will debut a pop-up team shop during homecoming weekend, which is this weekend, opening Friday from 3 to 5 for those of you going up, and Saturday it will be open from 11 to 5 before the ball game. The Petrie Hall pop-up shop will feature merchandise and showcases Auburn's vintage College Vault logos and a new line introducing the original Albie, which celebrated the storied history of Auburn's award-winning mascot. Originally drawn by Phil Neal, the original Albie adorned many of the Auburn game programs and tickets from 1959 to 1976, and the lively character became a part of the game day experience and fans anticipated what he might be doing to the opposing week. As you might remember that on the game programs and tickets, Albie received his name in 1969 when he appeared on the program for a game against, that could be our trivia question, Phil, tonight. If anybody knows the answer to that one, maybe some Albies out there are listening. But if you know the answer, what program or what team Auburn played in that first appearance by Albie, we will take your calls at 343-0106. Anyway, Saturday, the first 150 fans to visit Petrie Hall and the pop-up shop during Friday's grand opening will receive a free commemorative Albie Coke bottle. And, of course, the Petrie Hall pop-up shop will open every Saturday during the home season this fall. Petrie Hall, built in 1939, served as Auburn's field house and hosted the athletics department offices until 1969. It's hard to imagine that they were there until 1969, then moving into the new football building. We want to mention that, what are we saying here, Phil? About the text?
We got a texter.
Oh, we have a text. Tell me what it says.
What adjustments can be made on special teams to cover punt returns, kickoff returns better?
Ah, well, I think, and Coach Tuberville talked, not Coach Tuberville, Coach Malzahn talked about that on Tiger Talk a little earlier. I know they've been talking about getting the timing corrected on the punts and, you know, the depth of the punts and the height of the punts and getting both of those. They want to kick the ball higher is what they do, more hang time on the punts, and so that the coverage can get down the field and cover the punts better. We've got a caller on the line here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Let's see who it is. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Reese Dismukes.
Reese Desmuge. Well, interesting caller.
Castleberry, Alabama.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing good.
Great.
We were trying to get in touch with Coach Tuberville, but he evidently is tied up at the fundraiser in Birmingham. But we'll switch gears and talk to you, Reese. I know you've been out.
I'll be glad to be a close second, right?
Well, you're maybe even better than that. I know you've been out doing a little hunting this afternoon, right?
Yeah, we're dove hunting here in Castleberry. Didn't have much luck, but nothing wrong with being outside, and I'm glad to have the shorts on now, I can tell you that.
There you go, a little warm out there.
Yeah, it's hot for sure.
Hey, Reese, tell me your thoughts on the Auburn offensive line this year and the combination they have at the offensive line and running backs. How are they doing so far? What can they change? Are they making adjustments fast enough in that first half of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think you get, a lot of experience, obviously. Five guys coming back on the offensive line, and then obviously the backs we got with Booby and Ryan and the other guys. I mean, you obviously have a lot of experience there. Obviously, Oregon, and then going into Tulane, we all might be a little more confused here after Tulane, but then again, what do we want to show going into, before we go to Texas A&M? So I think obviously we got a bunch of experience and some great players and that have been there, and I think that's, obviously very good for Bo Nix being a freshman starter. So it'll be interesting to see, how the offense transforms moving forward.
Do you feel like the offensive line is performing well so far, or how would you grade them at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're doing their job, obviously. I mean, you look at Tulane last week, they're rolling 8-9 down in the box. I mean, what can you do with five guys up against eight? You don't want to show a whole lot as an offense, and then you kind of wait late in the game to start running it outside. But, I think they're doing their job, and if I know anything about J.B. Grimes, I mean, he's going to have those guys ready to play whatever they're asked to do. We'll see moving forward. I think, they got a good group of guys, and they're going to, obviously going to keep getting better week to week, and that's what J.B. is going to demand, and that's what's going to happen.
Right. Visiting with Reese Desmuke, a former Auburn Tiger, All-American center, and Remington Award winner, and if you'd like to join in the conversation, 343-0106 is our number, and you can text us as well with the area code 251. No holding penalties, I know, Reese, so far for the offensive line. That's something that the coach has got to be happy about.
Yeah, I mean, it's not holding until they call it. That's my philosophy, at least.
Now, I know you didn't do that when you were playing.
Hey, you got to hold.
Tell me about, you talked about kind of holding things back before the Texas A&M game. How much of that do you think is going on, and do you expect the Tigers to add a lot of zigs and zags as they get into that game with A&M?
Yeah, I mean, Malzahn's not a he's a smart guy. I mean, you're not gonna show what your gun. You're not gonna release your guns until you got to. So, obviously, I expect for the offense to grow and get a little more complex, the further we get along this deal. So, I mean, especially this week, I expect those guys to, obviously go out there, hopefully have a clean, crisp game and, grow a little bit and figure out a little bit more about their offense and create more of an offensive identity. But it's, obviously we're not going to show Tulane everything we got because we don't want to show Bama and Georgia and everyone else watching the film what we got. So, I mean, obviously it's a long season, and you're not gonna show everything week one. The fans may want you to, but you can't. If you're gonna win, you can't do that.
Right. Obviously, I don't want to pick on Booby Whitlow, but with Booby and Cam and some of the other running backs that have played so far, maybe they're not the speediest of backs. Maybe they don't have that burst that some backs have had that Auburn has had in the past. How much does that affect an offensive lineman? And do you see that as well? Is that an issue?
No, I hadn't really. That hadn't been something that's, you know, that I've really noticed. I mean, you go out there and strap it up. I hadn't really noticed that, to be honest with you.
Okay. Let's talk about Saturday. The Tigers obviously have to play without one of their top performers in Seth Williams at receiver with an injured shoulder. How much does that affect an offense timing-wise with a passing game and all around? What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you wish for his health, and you know fortunately we got Kent State, and mm-hmm. hopefully the Tigers can go out there and take care of business. But you know, another man's down, that's another man's opportunity. So hopefully another body, you know, another receiver will step up. And
yeah. Hey, hold that thought, Reese, just for a second. We got to take a short break. Can you hang with us?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back in just a second on Tiger Talk Overtime. 343-0106 is the number here on FM Talk 106.5.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime. I'm Doug Holton, and we're talking with former Auburn Tiger Reestus Mukes tonight and getting his thoughts on the Auburn offense and much more. As we were going to break, Reese, we were talking about Seth Williams a little bit, the Auburn receiver injured last week in the Tulane ball game, and what kind of effect you think that will have on this week's game. What do you think? How much will they miss Seth, and maybe how much of an opportunity will that be for somebody else to step up and step into his shoes?
Yeah, Doug, I mean, obviously Seth's a great player, and it was unfortunate he got hurt. Glad, hopefully it doesn't sound too serious, so that's good. Obviously we're gonna hold him out of this game here, and you know, with one guy down like that, it's you know, an opportunity for somebody else to step up and show what they can do. You know, especially I think that's big for Malzahn to see that, you know, obviously somebody else can do it. So look forward to seeing who that is stepping up this week.
Yeah, I was talking about the stretch coming up for the Tigers after Kent State this weekend. They have Texas A&M obviously on the road. They have Mississippi State back at home, and then at Florida. That's quite a three-game stretch there. So they need a good performance Saturday to get ready, don't you think?
Definitely so. We need to come out and get a good feeling and, you know, a good taste of your mouth moving forward. I think obviously Kent State, not your top-tier opponent. So especially at 6 o'clock, you sit around all day and you got to go play Kent State. That can be rough sometimes for the guys. So hopefully they come out and take care of business early and get a better taste in their mouth about their offensive identity.
Yeah, interesting comments. I don't know if you heard them, Reese, during the week about Coach Saban talking about how he didn't like playing at 11 o'clock, and then Gus at his press conference said he would like to be playing at 12 o'clock this Saturday. Did you catch any of that?
I heard a little bit of about that, not much. As a player, I can tell you this: I'd much rather play Kent State at 11 o'clock than at 6. Your family's in town, your friends are in town, and you're sitting in a hotel room all day, and then go play Kent State at 6 o'clock. There's not much fun about that. I mean, obviously it's another opportunity to play in Jordan-Hare, and you know that's not guaranteed to anybody. So
yeah,
you're fortunate to do that, but it's much rather play, especially at Kent State, at noon.
It makes for a long day.
With your family and friends, and
yeah, makes for a long day on Saturday. How does a player kill all that time? I know you have some meetings and walkthroughs and that kind of thing, but how do you kill all that time Saturday?
Well, you just sit in a hotel room all day, and I mean, you have your walkthroughs, and you have your meetings with your position coaches, and you review your tests that you take them with JB, and then you end up just laying around all day watching football. So it's obviously a long day, and it especially takes major focus when you're playing a
All right, we kind of lost you there. Are you still with us, Reese?
Yeah.
Well, I think we lost yourself for a minute. And I was just thinking when you were saying that as far as watching football. Now I know you're out in the business world now. How many games do you get to watch? And on the SEC Network, do you watch games during the week, the replay games?
Not much. I don't really watch much TV these days. I don't even know if I have the SEC Network on my TV channel.
I was just wondering who has caught your eye so far this year, if anybody.
I can tell you Alabama's strong. I've noticed Tua. It looks like he's improved. Texas A&M obviously putting up a good fight against Clemson. I don't know that either of those teams played their best game that game, but. Jimbo's got those guys rolling. They're, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And I think really the sleeper in the SEC West is LSU.
I don't know if they're a sleeper anymore.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
They're definitely not sneaking up on anybody, obviously, anymore. But they got a good crew over there, and hell, they can throw the ball. When's the last time LSU could throw the balls?
Yeah, 417 yards, I think, last week. So you're right. I think LSU is for real this year. They can run it, they can throw it, and they got a pretty good defense too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously they always have the athletes over there, and I know me and Alex Kozan, a former player of mine, have a podcast, and that was mentioned last week. I mean, when's the last time you saw LSU throw for over 300 and rush for, you know, under 200 and win by, you know, score, not win by a lot, but at least score nearly 50 points if it wasn't more than that.
Right. Tell we were talking during the break. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. I listened to a little bit of it last night, and maybe you should be here with us in the studio. Y'all did a nice job.
I don't know if we can give it that much credit, but yeah, we myself and Alex Kozan, co-host, we started Auburn Football Between the Tackles, and we focused on giving the fans a player's perspective, trying to really dial down more of the X's and O's and talk your typical media might not know. Just the experience of what we've been through, we feel like we have a little bit more to offer to the fans as far as the X's and O's, maybe not more, but something different. So it's been good, just getting it going. Obviously, there's your hiccups, and it's going good. But I'm looking forward to keeping it going. And like me and Kozan said when we started it, we call and talk about the games every week and what's going on. We might as well
put it on the air, huh?
Try and benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, tell, besides the podcast, tell everybody what you're doing now. I know you've always been an outdoorsman, but you're in the business world now. Tell the people, the Auburn fans out there, a little bit of what you're up to.
Yeah, I mean, now I work with Palomar Insurance. I'm in sales. I do commercial insurance. So I'm on the road all day. When I got into the real world, I wanted somebody to give me a playbook, and that's what the insurance world has done for me. They've given me a platform, and you're breathing, and you need insurance. My goal is to help your bottom line. I'm very fortunate to have been blessed with a great career, great platform, and on side of insurance, I've got a nonprofit foundation, which is the 50 Foundation, and our mission is to raise funding and awareness for epilepsy and other organizations that benefit and foster and that enable and benefit and foster our society's youth. So we're all about giving back and, just trying to give a little bit back to our community that's given so much to me.
And how did you get into that, Reese, the foundation? Is that something you've always wanted to do, or what happened there?
My little brother has epilepsy. It actually transpired in 17. Actually 17 to 18 New Year's, my best friend, Jacob Bracken, he's just, we're sitting there in the arms enjoying New Year's, and he told me how proud he was of me and what all I was able to accomplish, and if you know me, I'm not really one to take compliments very well. I try to be as humble as possible. I kind of told him, hey, I don't want us to be done. You know, we've created this monster, this platform, and I think I want to start a nonprofit foundation, especially for my little brother who is on his website. So that's where it kind of came from, and since then we formed last year, and we had two events this past year, a poker run and a crawfish cook-off, and we have our annual poker run coming up in October 5th down at the Wharf. Auburn's on the road at Florida that weekend, and Alabama's off, so we kind of got a schedule around those guys. But it's been great. We've had a great year, and we're just all about getting back and trying to make a difference in the community that means so much to me and my family.
Yeah, and what kind of kids are you helping there, and how widespread is your foundation right now?
We're in the process of creating a dog scholarship for epilepsy patients or people who live with epilepsy. We're in the process of creating that scholarship now, so our end goal there is to have an applicant or a scholarship each year for someone who needs a service dog, someone that lives with epilepsy that needs a service dog. Our goal is to take applicants and have one of those a year. And then we Jamie's Joy, Rob Milam at Spanish Fort, his wife passed away with ovarian cancer, and he started his foundation for HPV awareness, vaccine awareness. So we put on the Mud Bug Showdown in Daphne once a year on Mother's Day weekend, and that's for his foundation. We kind of team up there, so he spreads awareness for to young teen mothers and fathers that that need to be vaccinated and to avoid what happened to him. So, we're all about giving back, and I look to put on a football camp here coming this year, so we'll see if that happens. I've actually been named a national ambassador for the Epilepsy Foundation, so I'm on the Epilepsy Athletes Ambassador team, so look to get that going more and get a football camp going as well. So it's,
wow. Big plans.
It's a lot going on, but that's what you signed up for.
All right. Hang with us just for a minute, Reese. If you want to join the conversation, 343-0106. And back with more Tiger Talk Overtime in just a minute right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, everyone. I am Doug Holton, and we are talking Auburn football for the next few minutes. And Reese Dismukes has been kind enough to join with us tonight. Former Auburn center, All-American, the Remington Award winner. And it's great to have Reese with us. And Reese, you were talking a little bit about your foundation when we went to break, and tell people you're doing some great work there. It sounds like a really worthwhile effort. Tell people how they can get in touch with you and how they can help.
Yeah, definitely. Our email is d50foundation@gmail.com. That's the word spelled out, 50. And then on Facebook, you can find our page at D50 Foundation with the number. And our mission is to raise awareness and funding for epilepsy and foster and enable the betterment of our society's youth. So we're obviously trying to create a platform in our community and give back and
And I was fortunate enough to play football for Auburn and then go on and play for the Steelers and Panthers and Broncos for a short stint, but much of a coffee break with those guys. But it's something I've, you know, my community gave a lot to me coming out, and obviously my little brother has epilepsy, and I wanted to do something to continue to give back. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be able to play football for a good period of time and be somewhat good at it. At least that's what some people say. So my goal is to continue to give back to the community that gave to me so much.
Yeah. I was just thinking about your career when you mentioned that at Auburn. Obviously, like I mentioned, you won the Remington Award as the top center in the country, Spanish Fort. You played football, were highly recruited there. And then in the NFL, you played a little bit, but probably not as much as you wanted to. And I was just thinking about your foundation. But you had some health problems there, and so you kind of know from the other end, not exactly what that's like, but in some regard, you know what kind of things can happen there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I finished my career with Denver, they ultimately wanted to put a waiver on my shoulders saying, hey, Bruce, if you get hurt and if it's your shoulders, you won't get paid. So obviously I can't lose for free, and the only thing you have is your body, and some people don't realize that, but all you have every day is your 2 feet, put them on the ground and go to work. So if you're willing to give your body up, maybe that could have worked out for you. But at that point in time, obviously my agent said, we don't need to sign this deal. It's not a good deal. And that kind of wrote my letter out of the league. But I had a good career, and, obviously was able to last a long time. And
did we lose him? I think we lost Reese there. Anyway, he was talking about his foundation and his career with the Auburn Tigers and the NFL. Perhaps we can get him back on the line. But just a couple minutes left here on the program, Tiger Talk Overtime tonight. Coach Tommy Tuberville obviously raising a lot of money in Birmingham. We haven't heard from him yet tonight, but our apologies on that. We'll try to get him back on another show. But we have Reese back on the line. Let's see if we have – is that you, Reese, back on the line? Are you with us? Do we have a caller on the line? I think we do. Hello, are you there? Nobody there, Phil. Okay, we'll continue along. 343-0106 is our phone number. If you'd like to join us here or give us a call and talk some Auburn football in the last few minutes, the Tigers again taking on Kent State Saturday in Jordan-Hare Stadium, trying to go 3-0 on the 2019 season. As the ball game again is at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. Let's try again. We have a caller on the line. Is this Reese, or tell us your name?
Yes,
this is Reese. Reese again. Gotcha. We were talking,
lost you guys.
We were talking about the NFL, I think, and we lost you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to go play and see what it's all about. I mean, the NFL is a great career if it happens, but obviously there's a lot of factors when you talk about money and injuries and your body. I mean, you're the best. Who's the best steak in the in the factory is kind of how the NFL works.
Yeah.
So it obviously it didn't work out for me, but I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity, and wouldn't trade anything for the world.
What were you thinking, like, your senior year at Auburn? Very successful career on the Plains, obviously. What were you thinking about the NFL at that time?
Obviously, you'd like to make it a career, but unfortunately I was black flag going in, or red flag going into the NFL for some allegations that I wasn't I was accused of. So mm-hmm. Unfortunately my agent wasn't able to clear my name, and being Pat Dye Jr., you'd think that would happen, but ultimately had to fire that guy.
And, you know, you'd like to not see that happen, but stuff happens. And you move on and you deal with it. It's life.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of great things in the insurance business, your foundation. And, you know, it's we appreciate you being with us tonight. Tell us, we've got just a couple minutes left, Reese. Tell us what you think you'd like to see at 6 o'clock Saturday night. What would you like to see happen with the offense and all around for the Tigers coming up Saturday night?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, obviously for this Saturday, Kent State, not necessarily, you know, your top-tier opponent, but it's what you get, a big check paycheck day for those guys. As far as Auburn's offense goes and Auburn's team in a whole, you know, you'd like to see a clean game, go out there and take care of business and put them away early. I mean, as a leader or a former leader, captain, however you want to say it, any game like this obviously is a 6 o'clock. It's Kent State, not necessarily something you're really fired up about as a player. So you really need, as a team, you want to go out there and you want to take care of business and you want to put them away early. So, you know, we'd love the guys to do that, but, you know, not necessarily. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Obviously, you still got to play the game. So I would love to see those guys go out there and take care of business and go into the A&M week with a great taste in their mouth and look forward to, you know, seeing what happens. But
thoughts on any thoughts on Bo Nix, the young quarterback heading into game three? How do you think he's done? Obviously, you had a close relationship with the quarterback when you were there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done well. I mean, I started as a freshman. He started as a freshman. I think you got two different positions there, quarterback and center. But he obviously has a great head on his shoulders from his dad and has been taught very well and is able to handle the situation. I think he's a four-year guy that's in there in year one. I mean, I think he's got a great head on his shoulders he's beat Oregon in Dallas, and he's been down 14. So he has the experience. At this point, it's, you know, the team getting better, you know,
yeah,
putting that next brick in the ground and
yeah,
chopping at that wood. I mean, at this point, it's the little things, and we got to get better week to week. It's going to be pretty cool to watch his career transform.
All right, Reese, we appreciate you being with us tonight. Good luck. We'll be in touch soon. And, again, that's all the time we have for tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll have Tommy Tuberville back another night. And good luck to the Tigers Saturday night. Enjoy the ball game, everybody, and we'll see you next week right here on FM Talk 106.5. Good night, everybody.